It's a joy and privilege to be here. We've had a wonderful time, enjoyed ourselves, great preaching last night. And I was sharing with some folks not long ago, you know, learn to be specific in your prayers. When I was a little boy, I just wanted to be a preacher. And matter of fact, I was about 5 years of age, and I got a little TV tray and got the hymn book and the Bible. My mama was my audience. And I just led the service there and preached 5 years of age. But had a time. And my prayer was, Lord, one day I want to be a big preacher. Well, learn to be a little bit more specific in your prayers. The Lord answered that prayer, but as usual, not the way that I thought that He would. But you'd be surprised how much this has come in handy over the years. I had a man come to our church, and he attended, and he said, "Preacher, this is what I'm looking for." And he came to join the church. He said, "Could I tell you what I first thought of you?" I said, "Go ahead." He said, "I thought you were a hitman from Greece that came over here to Georgia, and you was going to come and do something. I didn't know what it was." And I said, "Well, brother, truth is, deep inside, I'm just a big teddy bear, but don't tell anybody else, all right? It keeps me out of a lot of trouble." But I want you to take your Bibles, if you will, and go to Hebrews chapter number 10, and some things the Lord gave me about a month ago in studying through the book of Hebrews that I'd like to share with you. And I guess for a title, Hold Your Ground. Hold Your Ground. Hebrews chapter number 10. And for the sake of time, let's notice verse number 22 and 23. Hebrews chapter number 10, verse 22. "Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised." Let's pray. Father, thank You for the precious Word of God. And Father, Lord, I thank You for the privilege and opportunity. I pray for the power of the Spirit of God now to help us today. Lord, I pray You'd feed Your people. I pray, God, we'd be strengthened and encouraged, Lord, in these dark days to be true and faithful for our Savior. Thank You, Lord, for the sweet fellowship we enjoy with Thee. Thank You for being our hope, our joy, our peace, and our strength. God, we just worship You today and thank You in Jesus' precious, lovely name. Amen. If you'll note here, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. You know, I was reading back in that old story about Shamgar. You remember him back in the old days when the Philistines used to wait until it was harvest time. And after they had done all the work, they came in and took all the peas. And you know, finally, God raised up a man, Shamgar, who decided that was coming to an end. And he went out there and defended the pea patch and wouldn't let them have the peas. And I thought about that when I was looking at this message that it's time we as God's people quit letting the devil steal our peas, but hold our ground and defend the pea patch that God has given us. You and I recognize today that we're under a lot of pressure in these days. And boy, we certainly feel it. We're living in a world that's demanding compromise, that's demanding us to conform to the way the world thinks and what it does. And you and I, as Bible people, you and I, as people of the Lord, we're going to have to hold our ground and defend our pea patch. And I want to give you several things today about holding fast our profession. You and I know today that politically we're under pressure, aren't we? We feel that right now in this country. And you and I understand today that socially we're under pressure today. We feel today that there's a constant demand for us to adapt to the culture and to the modern times in which we live. And we know what people say. I've heard the mocking. I've heard the statements today. Listen, that we have a caveman mentality, an old-fashioned way that we need to update and we need to reform and adapt to society and be relevant in the culture we live in today. And we feel those pressures. I feel it also religiously, we might say as well. Listen, a constant pressure to conform, to update, to become modern and to leave behind many of the traditional values and things that we've always stood for. And I know you feel that pressure. I certainly do today. And it's all around us. But I want to remind you today, it's important that we hold fast our profession. Hold fast, defend our pea patch. We're under temptation to lower our standards, to lower our voices and lessen our commitment these days. But listen, I want you to be reminded today that it's important for the sake of our families and for our children and grandchildren and for our folk that to listen, we preach to and try to minister to, that we must hold fast our ground and defend our pea patch. Now, I want to give you three simple things today as to why we are holding our ground, defending our pea patch. The first thing I want to share with you is our profession of faith is founded upon solid principles. It's founded upon solid principles. In 1 Thessalonians 5, it tells us that we are to hold fast that which is good. You know, one of the reasons I'm not going to back up and not going to give the enemy a foothold is because what I stand for in the profession of my faith is based upon good things. Holding fast to good things. And listen, when I read my Bible and when I study it and when I try to teach it, I'm reminded there are some things that are just wonderful, good things. Listen, I believe with all my heart that a man and a woman gets married and begins to discipline their children and teach them the good moral values of the Word of God. I believe that's a good thing. And I believe to teach them up, I'd raise them up that they might have some respect and listen, might honor the flag and country and might honor God and live for Jesus. That's a good thing. And therefore, I want to stand and hold fast. Why? Because it's a good thing. Listen, I find folk all around us today, they look at us and treat us as if we're some kind of an alien and if we're doing some kind of things that are ungodly or wicked or evil. But listen, we're doing good things. I believe helping folk and caring about folk, loving folk and teaching folks a good thing. I believe that trying to help rescue people from sin and from bondage, I believe that's a good thing. But you and I know today that we are surrounded by an enemy, and they stand in accusation. We think about how Brother Roloff was treated all those years just trying to save the lives of those precious children and treated like a junkyard dog. Listen, brought before them, I'm reminded that's nothing new. Listen, when I go back, I find that back in the book of Acts, you remember when they had came and arrested Peter and John and brought them before the trial and the witnesses. You remember that he said, if we be examined this day for the good deed that we have done. And listen, you and I have opportunity to do good things, and we're doing good things, and we're helping folk, and we're trying to save and rescue lives, and trying to save souls. We're not going to back up because it's a good thing. It's a good thing. How the world may call it other things, but we know it's good and it's blessed. Listen, I believe trying to set folks free from the bondage of sin. Trying to help them overcome. Their dependency upon drunkenness and going down the road of being in bondage to narcotics. That's a good thing to help folk deliver. I believe that helping folk look right and be decent, I believe that's a good thing. And so we're not going to back up today as God's people. We're not going to back up as God's preachers today. Why? Because we are doing a good thing in the sight of Almighty God. And it's a good thing. Now, there are a lot of folk doing evil thing today, but the world is calling it good. But God pronounces a woe upon that today. I believe that praying and giving and kindness and peace and righteousness, I believe that's a good thing. A good thing. Then I'm going to give you the second thing. We need to hold fast our profession because it's centered in a person. That person is Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Now listen, we need to defend our pea patch because not only are we doing good things, but listen, it is centered in the person of Jesus Christ. You and I know that Jesus Christ is the greatest person that ever lived. The greatest example there ever was. You and I know the truth that He was God in human flesh that walked among men. And when I think of Him, I think of my Savior. How that He did not just excel in one of the graces, He excelled in them all. I've met some people down through the years that were blessed with great, wonderful Christian graces. I've been around people, had a gift of hospitality. And I think about some I pastored. Listen, they just such a blessing. And always ready to extend their home to weary travelers. And I've met folk, listen, who influenced me because they were people of such faith. I met people, listen, who were so loving and so kind and gracious. And I think back upon faces that fill my mind in the people I've met that, listen, I just saw little glimpses of the Lord in their life. But I want to tell you, when it comes to Jesus, He excelled in all the graces. The Lord Jesus Christ was altogether lovely. And listen, the one true man that walked upon the earth in absolute perfection without sin. And listen, I'm not going to back up. I want to hold fast my profession because I'm following the greatest person that ever lived. He's my example. He's my Savior. He's my Lord. And He's my King. And I'll follow Him. Listen, I don't know who the world is wanting to follow today. Well, in fact, I know some. And listen, when I look upon their lives, I look upon their histories. I wouldn't follow them across the road. But the world lines up to follow a lot of folk. And listen, criticize us and come against us and fight with us because we choose to follow Jesus. And listen, we look around and we find folks are following people today. Some of them freaks and some of them perverts and dope heads and who knows what all. And listen, have lined up to worship them and follow them and to adore them and to lift their names up. And listen, but I have chosen to follow Jesus Christ. He is my Savior, my Lord. He's the perfect one, the perfect example. And I will follow the Lord Jesus Christ as my own Savior. As my great example, nobody excelled in love and compassion, mercy and grace, and kindness and truth, integrity and character like the Lord Jesus. And so what in the world could be wrong? Why should I back up? Why should I make a step backwards? Why should I yield myself to those who would come against me? Now listen, I'm following the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are going to hold fast our profession because there might be something wrong with me, but there's nothing wrong with my Savior. And I'm going to follow my Savior because nothing wrong with Him. Occasionally you and I have opportunity to visit some folk. I visited a man not too long ago and he began to sit in to tell me about some of my folk. And he said, I've lived here all my life. Let me tell you something about your folk. And I said, now hold on right there. I said, let me tell you something. I said, you're talking about 20 years ago. I'm telling you that people change. And I said, a couple of those people you criticize, let me tell you what they mean to me and what they've done for this preacher. And I let him know that all of us were lost and hell-bound sinners. But listen, only thing makes us worthwhile is Jesus Christ. Amen. And I said, these men have received Christ and they have changed and they've been a blessing. And listen, I said, but let me tell you the real point of the matter is, we didn't come to worship men, we gather on Sunday to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And I said, now you get your Bible and you find something wrong with Jesus and then we'll talk about it. I said, you won't find nothing wrong with Him. You'll find something wrong with me if you want to, sure. You don't have to look that hard. But I'll tell you, you'll never find nothing wrong with Jesus. And listen, when I find the leaders that people follow today, when I see the entertainment field, I see the sports field, I see movie stars, I see music stars, I see political stars, and listen to all those folk that are lined up to follow them, and people today so foolish, they have yielded their lives, they've yielded their liberties and possession, laid them at the feet of ordinary men, and I'll tell you, you'll come out a loser, but if you'll come and lay it all at Jesus' feet, you'll find He's altogether lovely, and that He never failed you, that He is faithful, that He is God, and that He'll bless your soul. I grieve over our nation and those people today in our country that are laying their liberties down and just giving them away. Listen to our elected president. They're just laying it all down and giving up rights and liberties, my friend. You'll regret that one of these days. But I'll tell you, every man who's ever come to the knowledge of Christ and came and just kneeled down an altar and laid it all down at Jesus' feet, he's rejoicing and praising God to this day, for he's recognized you can never outgive God, that He's always blessed us. And listen, He's always put our interest at heart. Oh, listen, it's all about that precious love that God has for you and I. You say, we're not going to back up? No. We're going to hold fast our profession. You know why? Because it's based upon good things. We're doing good things, and it's a good work. and there's no place to back up. We're going to hold fast to our profession. You know why? Because it's centered in the person of Jesus Christ. Oh, listen. He's altogether the lovely one. And then thirdly, let me share with you. We're going to hold fast to our profession, for it's established upon better promises. If you notice right here, he said, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. He is faithful that promised. If you'll study out the book of Hebrews, you know one of the themes of it is talking about better things and better promises. And you know what? When you think of the old covenant, listen, it was based upon man's performance in those duties and the ceremonial law and the requirements. But listen, when Hebrews came, he's beginning to teach us that there are better promises than those. That if you'll note here, that better promise is based upon the statement he makes. Notice what he says in the last verse, last portion of the verse. For he is faithful that promised. You know what this new covenant's about through Jesus Christ? It's based on the faithfulness of God. Amen. I want to tell you, you and I, listen, we're going to hold fast our profession. You know why? It's based upon the promise of God. It's based upon His faithfulness. I'm glad today I'm not trusting in myself, nor in my righteousness or lack thereof. I'm not trusting in my performance. Folks come and say, preacher, listen, what do you think and who do you think you are that you're going to heaven? I ain't nobody and I don't deserve it. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. But I'm trusting God's promise. Listen, who do you think you are? Do you think you're better than we are? No, but my Savior is. Listen, I know what I am, and nothing special about me except that God loved me, and Jesus died for me. And listen, I am putting my trust, my confidence, in the faithfulness of God. I want to tell you, God is faithful, and He will be there. And listen, you and I stand, we're not going to back up. You know why? Because my God's always been faithful. Amen. No, listen, we're going to defend that pea patch. No. How you can come and slander and mock my Savior. I'm going to tell you something. He's been a faithful Savior to me. Amen. Listen, God has met our need all down through the years. Rhonda and I have been together now for many, many years in serving the Lord. And listen, I've taken that gal through some rough times. Boy, I tell you, it's through some rough times. We went 2 years, listen, where our life was threatened. And listen, where I received a phone call every week for 2 years. Listen, of a man who hated my guts and tried to run over me one time with a car and just hated me with a passion. Tried to slander our name, called me, pretended to be a woman, and always saying ungodly, wicked things. Listen, put up with that for all those years. Had a man one time, listen, come to me after church, and he said, better be careful, preacher. I'm the kind of man one day you're not looking, I'm going to slit your throat. But I want to tell you something. My God has always been faithful. Amen. We went to Panama City, Florida Beach, trying to start a work there. And listen, we just went out on faith and trusted God. We went there without jobs or anything, just trusting the Lord. We got down to a place, listen, where we had nothing to eat. Now, I'm talking literally nothing. There was nothing, nothing. There wasn't even rat poison. Nothing, nothing to eat. I mean, the cabinet's so bare, not even a mousetrap. And listen, we had just been taught all our lives to trust the Lord. And so we got together on that living room floor and we got on our knees. We prayed. We said, God, best we know, we're in the center of your will. You sent us here, Lord. We don't have any opportunity to get the money. Don't know where any is. And Lord, it's going to be another day before we get paid. We had finally gotten some part-time jobs. And we just began to pray. And I said, Lord, it ain't going to hurt me to miss a meal, but I'm just going to stand on your promises. And about 2 hours after our prayer, there came a knock at my door. And all of a sudden, I looked up and went to answer the door. It's one of my neighbors, lived diagonally across the road from me. He said, listen, I know that you young folk are new in the area. And he said, my wife and I are Christian people, and we just wanted to come by and share with you a little bit of a welcome here. And he had a big old tray. He said, my wife said, honey, don't go down there empty-handed. And he said, I had just gone to the pier, Panama City Beach, Florida, and he said, I caught a 20-pound mackerel. And she said, honey, don't take them down there a fish in a pan that ain't been cooked. She said, let's cook it for them. And so, sure enough, they had baked that thing, and boy, I tell you, the aroma when it hit that door. And listen, I opened that door, and that first thing hit me, just that smell coming. And he said, we thought y'all might like that. Don't know if you like fish. Listen, that man might have thought I was his cousin. I was ready to hug all over him. took that tray. And listen, that's the best fish we've ever eaten in all of our life. You know why? Because I knew it was heaven sent. Came directly from God. I want to tell you, God is faithful to supply your need. And listen, we stand upon better promises. We're not backing up. We're going to defend the pea patch because my God has always been faithful. I never forget when I got the phone call. I was 10 hours away. Mama called and said, your daddy's gone. So we took a 10-hour trip. And I held up pretty well, praying all the way. Pretty quiet trip, long trip. I held up pretty well until I saw my brother in the front yard. When I saw him, I kind of lost it. And we embraced in the front yard for a little while, wept together. My mama, bless her heart, as soon as she saw us, she said, I want y'all to come in here. I said, okay. She said, I want to show you something. She said, you know your daddy was headed out to Wednesday night service, had his Bible under his arm, had his suit and tie on, his keys in his hand, and the Lord took him right at the doorway, just collapsed and was gone. And she said, the Holy Spirit just kind of whispered to me and said, what would you suppose he was going to preach on that Wednesday night service? And she said, I took the Bible, and she said, I found his notes, and I want you to read this text, and I want you to read his notes. We opened that Bible, tears flowing down our eyes. I have finished my course. I've run the race. Henceforth, God has laid up a crown of righteousness. That was the last thought upon his mind as he was heading out to preach a Wednesday service. I want to tell you, only God can make you shout through your tears. Yeah. I don't know what the family folks and the church folk thought, but there was three people inside that little old room. And we was, hallelujah, praise God, he is faithful. And we rejoiced together. And listen, we shouted in the midst of our tears, God gave us victory, even in times of our greatest sorrow, because our God is faithful. And we're going to hold our profession. We're going to stand our ground. We're going to defend the pea patch. And listen, you can pressure us and you can come and bring persecution, but we're going to hold the ground. Why? Because we're standing on better promises. Our God is faithful. I want to encourage you. Listen, stand your ground. Defend your pea patch because we're doing a good work for God. And it's good things we stand upon. And we're following the perfect man, the Son of God, who is our Savior, King, and Captain of our salvation. And stand firm and hold your ground and defend your pea patch because we stand upon better promises. And thank God he is faithful and will be until we step on the other side and see all that God has in store. God bless you.